If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process. From syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns, automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Ned Ryan, the author of a new book about American history, The Adversaries, a story of Boston and Bunker Hill. This is Boston, late 1774, early 1775. The events between the alienation of the Bostonians and the people of Massachusetts by their king and the Battle of Bunker Hill, also known as the Battle of Breed's Hill. Ned, congratulations and good evening. And I take you to a scene in the spring of 1775 in the palace in London. King George has beckoned a man named Howe, Lord Howe, a general in his army, a long-serving general, then 45 years old, who is a family of servants of the king. These are soldiers and sailors, and he is a veteran of many North American wars. He beckons Lord Howe, and present also are General Clinton and General Burgoyne. What is the subject of this discussion, and what does Howe learn from the king? Good evening to you, Ned.
Good evening to you, John, and I really appreciate this opportunity. But no, you hit on a very interesting scene that spring of 1775. And the king and his ministers, Lord North, who's the prime minister, Lord Dartmouth, who was secretary of the colonies, have realized the situation in Boston and the colony of Massachusetts, but really all of the American colonies, is spiraling out of control. And they have come upon the solution is to send three of their better generals, William Howe, Henry Clinton, Johnny Burgoyne, gentleman Johnny Burgoyne, to Boston to help General Thomas Gage try and solve what is quickly devolved into what they consider sedition and rebellion. And it was really an interesting scene, John, in which William Howe is called to the palace. He's there with the king and Burgoyne, Clinton, and obviously Dartmouth and North. And the king tells him that he is going to send him to Boston. And people need to understand, I mentioned this in the book, William Howe and the Howe brothers. There was George Howe, there was Richard Howe, there was William Howe. These three brothers were known and beloved by the colonists, especially Massachusetts, because George Howe, who died tragically at a young age, he was in his early 30s, one of the most talented generals in the army at the time, dies in a skirmish around Ticonderoga during the French and Indian War in the arms of his main scout, a man by the name of Israel Putnam. And in response to that death, the colony of Massachusetts sends £250 to have a memorial built to George Howe in Westminster Abbey. So the Howe brothers are very close to the Americans. William Howe has run in a snap election in the fall of 1774 on the pledge not to seek active duty, to in fact resist active duty in the colonies. He's voted against the Intolerable Acts, and now he's been called to the palace, in which King George III looks at him and says, I am sending you to Boston. You will help Gage solve this problem and bring the Americans into submission. And William Howe looks at him and really confesses to being conflicted and said, is this you? Are you asking me? Or are you ordering me? And George III says, I'm ordering you, but I would hope that if I asked you, you would have listened to your king. And William Howe finds himself on a boat with the two other generals headed to America. And he arrives in the end of May 1775, and just a few weeks later, despite his being conflicted, he finds himself in command of the British forces going up what is Breed's Hill, and what we now know as the Battle of Bunker Hill. He is the commander of the British forces that day, and it's a very interesting story that highlights the conflict that a lot of English felt about coming to violence with the American colonies.
The Intolerable Acts, that was the driver for the alienation,
right.
The final alienation. The Intolerable Acts were a series of parliamentary actions meant to punish Massachusetts, punish Boston in particular, because of its conduct for many years, but certainly the Tea Party destroying
That's
all
right.
those assets of the East India Company. Now, a detail about the Intolerable Acts. They aroused a lot of unhappiness in Boston, but you concentrate on one young man, Dr. Joseph Warren. What do we need
That's
to know about Joseph Warren?
Joseph Warren, Dr. Joseph Warren, young Harvard-educated doctor, protege of Samuel Adams, but quickly becomes his equal, and I would argue that really one of the leaders not only in Boston and Massachusetts, but even across the colonies in those last 9 or 10 months before Bunker Hill. He becomes president of the Provincial Congress. He becomes a major general in the new army. But if you even look back in the years before that, it was really his idea for the Committees of Correspondence. He authored a lot of those missives from the Committees of Correspondence that then, of course, go throughout the colonies, informing people what was taking place in Massachusetts. But, John, you're right. The Intolerable Acts were something that were extremely draconian. The thing I discovered in this is that they were all based off suggestions by Thomas Gage, sent back to England, obviously formalized, codified into law by Parliament, sent back, shutting down Boston Harbor, the Boston port, annihilating self-rule, self-governance, suspending the Charter of Massachusetts. There were a lot of things where all of a sudden, that year 1774, these colonists who were English, I mean, this is the one thing, John, 85% of Massachusetts at the time is direct English lineage, not Scottish, not Irish. You have Englishmen looking at each other from either side of the Atlantic, really starting to understand we can't even agree on some fundamentals. Who makes the laws? Who governs? How are those laws supposed to be made? And they realize that it comes into 1775, well, we can't find compromise. What's the next step? And a lot of them realize, you see this in correspondence from British officers, we're headed towards civil war.
Warren is convinced, but at the same time, he has conversations with others in his ilk about the
right.
the difference between being free, having liberty,
right.
and also being an obedient subject of the king. This is not straightforward. This is not like the king is a tyrant. We must
right.
revolt. He has one particular conversation, I believe, with Sam Cooper, Silver Tongue Cooper.
The
rector of Brattle Street Church. In that conversation, I heard doubt from Warren. Do you think Warren doubted his actions because he wanted to be loyal to the king and yet he could not tolerate the Intolerable Acts?
I think there at some point there is this conflict, because they were really blaming a lot of the Intolerable Acts on Parliament and the king's ministers, and didn't want to blame King George III. In fact, they called the British troops the Ministerial Army. They really did. They considered themselves good and loyal subjects to King George III, and viewed initially the real villains as being Parliament and the king's ministers. And so I include that conversation because I think that's one of the things they had to struggle with. We want to be able to have a conversation about our rights, what we believe we're entitled to, not only as human beings, but Englishmen. And we're having these rights removed. And, you know, we're being called seditious and rebellious for even questioning some of these things, when in fact all we want is to be free, to have the right to govern ourselves, as we've done very well for the previous 150 years. So I wanted to include that conversation because I do think it's something they struggled with and had to get it straight in their own heads. If we truly believe this and they will not compromise, what is then the next step? And are we prepared to actually go to that next step?
Gage is the commander, the governor general of the colonies, because
right.
they've been deprived of their own self-rule with the Intolerable Acts. Gage also is of mixed opinion. He's married to an American colonist.
That's right.
He hesitates to use strong methods, and yet he's told again and again that they're raising an army. Was that accurate, Ned? Were they actually raising a 15 or 13,000 man army, or was that a projection?
No, by the fall, the British royal government has come to total collapse in the fall of 1774. And as the Provincial Congress, based off representatives from the various towns in Massachusetts, has come together, Warren is one of the driving forces in which he says, and he's starting to come to this realization, if we're going to be free, we're probably going to have to fight for it. I don't want to, but we probably will. We have to prepare. And so they did. And one of the things, John, that I found interesting, I knew that they had been drilling, obviously, the Minutemen and drilling the militia on a weekly, if not biweekly, basis. the active smuggling of arms into the colonies from the Netherlands, from Germany, as they're preparing, as they're smuggling in gunpowder and muskets and cannons to fight.
Oh, I understand. Gunpowder, and that will inform the decisions made on Breed Hill, on Bunker Hill. But that number, 15,000, that number, 13,000, these were farmers. You emphasize that. They have no skills whatsoever to maneuver with a force that large. So was it real, or was it Gage's fears that made that number important to him?
No, it was, well, it was real because they had the ability to even call up 30,000. They projected perhaps 30,000 Massachusetts colonists could be under arms and come to Boston.
Okay.
And I think the real fear was that they might actually figure out how to organize and formalize into an army, which was a real struggle in those 8 weeks between Lexington and Concord and Bunker Hill. But that was the fear, and that's what the Americans were trying to do and eventually got to.
What was Lexington about? What was Concord about? It was about gunpowder and arms.
That's right.
But chiefly gunpowder. What was Salem about? It was about gunpowder. Gage's idea was that if we deprive them of gunpowder, therefore it's just talk. We'll turn to something that wasn't talk. That's the Battle of Bunker Breeds Hill in June of 1775. The book is The Adversaries, Boston and Bunker Hill. Ned Ryan is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No